you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to this week's edition of our Bears Talk podcast. I'm Chris Bowden alongside former Bears quarterback Jim Miller and former Bears defensive end Alex Brown. 29-23 was your final. Bears falling to 1-4 on Sunday in Indianapolis. And this could have been a lot better. There were some bright spots, which we'll get around to, but off on the wrong foot, even though they opened the game with a field goal drive to put them on top 3-0, which is a good thing. You want to strike quickly. However, three penalties for 30 yards on their way to 10 for 80 on the game. This was a game, guys, where discipline really jumped up and bit this team and may have cost them in the end.
You know, there's no doubt. I think young players are, again, they're being thrown in there and have to learn on the fly. Obviously, that first drive, the key penalty was Jordan Howard. Here you got a rookie player down there. Kadeem Carey's going to bang it in there for a touchdown. And, you know, here a young player makes a costly mistake. He had a ton of positives. There's no doubt about that. But just overall, when you look at the team, one, we always talk about playing a 60-minute game. I thought they played much better in the second 30 minutes than they did in the first 30 minutes. So the consistency from that standpoint has to get better for these young players, Alex. Yes.
And they didn't play bad in those first 30, you know, but they can play a lot better. Mm-hmm. And then when we're talking about shooting yourself in the foot is also when you have an opportunity to make a play and you don't make that play. There was a guy who came free. The coaches do their job to put you in position to make a play. This guy came free on pump block and totally missed it. Totally missed it. Now, that play can change the game. Coaches do their job. They find a weakness, and they exploit it perfectly, and then the player doesn't make the play. So you got those plays. You got the young players, face mask on Howard. You got Meredith fumbling the ball. This stuff, hopefully they learn from. But these are the things that get you beat in close games, and you can't have them. And then we didn't have two, three, four of these plays, you can't win.
Yeah, and on top of that, obviously Indianapolis came in making some adjustments. The way they were getting off to these sluggish starts, even though they have a very capable offense, the offensive line is not capable. And this was a game where the Bears were really probably trying to lick their chops and getting to Luck, which they eventually did. Mm-hmm. But in the first half, when Luck seemed to do most of his damage, he probably had too much time, didn't he, Alex?
He absolutely had too much time. I mean, but coming into a game, you know a guy struggles. But they're struggling with Jacksonville, the teams that they play, Denver's. They struggle. Now you got to come in and you got to figure them out. You got to figure out what they're doing, what they're good at, and then you got to start to exploit that. We started to see that. We saw, what was it, on three of the sacks were on blitzes. Mm-hmm.
Which usually Vic Fangio doesn't like to do.
Right, but he has to figure that out too. He has to figure out what works, and you got to get your guys. The best thing a coach can do, or the best thing a defensive player can do as far as rushing the quarterback, all he wants is a one-on-one. If I get one-on-one, I'm good. I don't want a chip. I don't want this little running back chipping me. I don't want a guy waiting on me if I make an inside move. But if I can get one-on-one, then I'm good to go. When you send six, when you send five, you're giving them one-on-one blocking. Somebody got to get home. Today we're able to get home. We're able to hit him. We just need it more in the first half.
Yeah, there was so much T.Y. Hilton damage there in that first half. And we want to talk about we want to talk about some positive things. And we will about the Hoyers and the Howards and the Merediths and whatnot. But this kicking situation, again, kind of reared its ugly head. I mean, Connor Barth did kick a 49-yarder, but then he had a couple of opportunities. I mean, if his strength isn't beyond 50, I'm not sure why he was given that opportunity in the first place on the one. But then he gets a second chance from 49 again following a penalty and isn't able to convert on that. And we talked about it on the postgame show how You know, it can be deflating when 3 weeks in, you've already seen this guy miss three kicks.
Yeah, it does. It affects the psyche of your team, and you wonder if he's got the yips and if he can get over it again. And you made a great point in the postgame show about here you're looking across the field. What do you think the Colts are thinking when they send Adam Vinatieri on the field?
Yeah.
They know it's a sure thing.
Yep.
And the Bears, when they send their kicker on the field, everybody's, you know, thank God the game's played on Sundays. They all drop to a knee or praying that Connor Barr's going to make it because they don't know and they're unsure. But here's what I do like about the Bears and how they play today. Despite that missed field goal, despite the penalties, despite the fumble by Meredith, these guys just moved on and kept on playing. Mm-hmm. They kept competing. There were three lead changes in the game. They were fighting through all of it. And they know these are costing them games. But it's to the point now, you become mentally tougher, just saying, hey, doesn't matter. We're gonna go out and still get it done when somebody does make a crucial
And that's
mistake.
A fine line between not being psychologically defeated by all these close calls or whatnot, or you know, those mistakes setting you back and getting in your head, and instead switching that around and using that as a positive to try and build off of.
Absolutely. You hear the post-game comments by the players, and they're all saying the same thing. Like, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We got to stop making these plays. We're putting ourselves in position. We're playing football, good football, I guess winning football. But they are little plays. And just like you have to learn how to win. You have to learn how to win. And when you get in these close games, you got to be able to make these plays. Now, we're all going to look at Hoyer and say, Hoyer played a great game, which he did. But I had fourth down. One-on-one, I was just speaking about one-on-ones. Look over, and you're looking at Alshon Jeffrey one-on-one. Mm-hmm. That ball has to go to him. Mm-hmm. It has to. That's your best offensive player. It's got to go to him. And he missed that one. Now, I'm sure he'll look at film, and he'll see that he missed that one. But he has to see that. He has to give his guy a chance to make a play for him. So everybody has room to improve. It's not just one player. Nobody played when you lose. I guarantee Willie Young, he had three sacks. But he feel like if he had one more and he could cause him to win, that'd be great. I'll take two sacks if we can win this game. And that's the thing. You want to always do enough to win.
And Hoyer said as much afterwards on that last play on that fourth down opportunity when, unfortunately, the Bears were pushed back by another penalty by Bobby Massey. Mm-hmm. It's turned a third and five into a third and 15 and a fourth and 10 or whatever it was. Now, in this Hoyer and Cutler discussion, does it really even need to be a discussion anymore with the way this guy has been able to come through with the opportunity that he's been given? The doubters will say, okay, this guy's six teams in 8 years. He's just a journeyman. But on the other hand, this is our Twitter question on the postgame show. Should it even matter when Jay's healthy? As long as Hoyer's healthy and keeps playing somewhere along this standard, should he be the guy moving forward when they both become available?
Well, sometimes in the NFL it's just the right time and right place. You know, here he's an undrafted free agent in New England. It served him well. He was taught good offensive football and how to play situational play. And I would say the same thing when he spent time with Bill O'Brien down in Houston. So we've seen a lot of quarterbacks like Rich Gannon. I know for me, I know I was much more prepared when I landed here at the Bears than I was, you know, my first couple years in the National Football League. So I don't think that matters. I do think this. I think John Fox, he sees how the team's responding to Brian Hoyer. And he's going to say all day long that it's a moot point because Jay's not even healthy. And he is right by that. But he's just, you know, pushing the can down the road. Because at some point he may have to turn back to Jay Cutler, whether it's through injury or whether if Hoyer's play turns bad. But right now it's a no-brainer. Brian Hoyer, even in a loss, he is the starting quarterback of the Bears.
Read a great piece about Hoyer in terms of his development in New England. Yeah. Brady would give him work to do about the opponent, breaking down opponent, you know, sets and formations and getting back to him. I don't know if that's part of a usual apprenticeship for backup quarterbacks or not, but he talked about how much he learned from doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it is. You try to emulate, and Tom Brady's one of the best. And Brian Hoyer took that to heart. And he meticulously tried to study and understand why Tom Brady is so great. And he's trying to prepare himself accordingly. He may not have the talent of Tom Brady, but you can see three games, he has prepared himself every single game to play in. That football has never been in harm's way. He is a good decision maker.
Isn't it about when a quarterback, I mean, once you got a quarterback that can make all the throws, then it's about decision making, right?
Yep.
And trying to see what defense they're running before you snap the ball. And if you can do that and you can make all the throws, then let's do it. If Hoyer's learned up to this point, all this been this journey that he's had that's led him to Chicago, what if he's now ready to lead a team? Mm-hmm. Are we going to shut the door on that? No way. Because we have a guy that, I mean, in my opinion, I don't think we're going to win a championship with. Not a Super Bowl.
And you don't have to keep paying either after this.
And you don't. No. Yeah. I just don't. I like winning. And I like winning football. And I think Hoyer, in the time that he's been there, he's given us a chance to win. That's it. That's what I want.
So far, so good with Brian Hoyer. We'll see if he can continue to carry that on forward here, at least until Jay Cutler is healthy enough to be part of this conversation.
Like him, who's playing like him in the NFL right now? Like, who's done? Like, if you look at the past 3 weeks, who's doing what he's doing just from the quarterback position? Yeah.
Today he was second to only his buddy Tom Brady, I believe, passing the football.
That's tough, man.
Time for us to take a break. Coming up, we'll get more on the Bears podcast and the 29-23 loss to the Indianapolis Colts. Mark Schanowski, joined by former Bears head coach Dave Weinstein.
Warm up for every Bears game 1 hour before kickoff with Bears Pregame Live.
Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, Jim Miller, and host Chris Bowden get you ready for kickoff and have instant reaction on Bears Postgame Live immediately following the game.
The best Bears coverage in the city is on CSN Chicago.
Bears fall to 1-4 after a 29-23 loss at Indianapolis, joined by the coach, Dave Wanstead. And when you're looking at the tape of this one in the coach's room, you get 522 yards of total offense and you lose. That's got to hurt.
It does. And you get five sacks on defense, you know, mm-hmm. So the defense played better. Special teams were solid. You know, and as a coach, and I know John Fox is always talking about, hey, how there's always two or three plays, guys, in a game that make a difference. And you can say that. It almost sounds like a broken record. Well, now in a game like this, when it was that close, and maybe it was a penalty. They had 10 penalties. Maybe it was a missed tackle. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was one bust in the secondary, one score. That's the difference in winning, losing these games. And that's what they got to clean up if they're going to get this thing going in the right direction.
This season is a lot about development to some of the young guys. One of the players I really like is Bryce Callahan, the slot corner. He went out with an injury in the second half, and it seemed that the Colts were able to get a lot more done once he went out of the game.
Yeah, you know, all these young players, we talked about this. At this stage, because of injuries, you know, a coach, you always want your veteran guys, your talented guys, but the positive of having young guys like Callahan in there is they're eager to learn, you know, and they're going to get better week after week after week. And hopefully he's going to be okay next week and we can get him back going full speed.
Bears, as you mentioned, did have five sacks. That was a positive. Yep. Three of them from Willie Young, but Leonard Floyd missed the game because of injury. And it seems like with the injuries mounting up on the defensive end, it kind of affects what Vic Fangio can do in terms of his play calls.
Well, it does. You know, Vic's not a big blitz team.
Right.
He'll mix it up a little bit. We saw Sunday, you know, that he lined up in the bear a little bit and went some five-man pressure, bought a linebacker. But he likes to rush force to help his secondary. You know, right now, Vic's in a tough spot. You got some linemen missing, you know, so you're having to bring some linebackers, do a little bit more blitzing, but then the guys behind you, they're banged up and inexperienced.
Yeah.
So you know, you're taking from one and giving to the other. That can be a little bit dangerous, but you got to do what you got to do.
Bears are playing without Kevin White. He went on IR, of course, because of the broken leg, so they pushed Cam Meredith into more duty. He had to play more because Eddie Royal's still nursing a calf injury. Cam Meredith started out his career at Illinois State as a quarterback, then was switched over to wide receiver. He's got pretty good size. The Bears made good use of him against the
Colts. He does. He fits that mold. Well, if you look at the, you know, other than Eddie Royal's, but if you look at Jeffrey, you look at Kevin White, you know, the Bear receiver crew, they like the tall one. And mm-hmm. You mentioned he's 6'3". You know, he's a good athlete, played quarterback, and the one touchdown that he had, you know, he went up in the end zone at the highest point and made the grab. It was all hands catch. So there's a lot of upside here, and it's just going to take, again, playing time and experience.
Brian Hoyer keeps getting better and better as the Bears' starting quarterback, almost 400 yards passing against the Colts. What do you like best about the way he's playing?
Zero interceptions.
Yeah, coaches love that. Yeah.
It's almost too simple, but six touchdowns in three games and zero interceptions. I mean, if he – and then he's putting up good enough numbers, you know. And so I think he's doing everything that he can do to give the Bears a chance to win games. I don't know what more, if I'm coaching them, am I going to ask them to do? Because the more you start putting too much on his plate with young receivers, with Meredith and some of these guys in there, and Howard at running back, then mistakes start showing up. So he's doing fine right now. That's, in my opinion, that's probably the least of their problems.
It looks like the Bears have found themselves a number one running back in Jordan Howard from Indiana University.
Yeah, you know, Sunday's game was – that was a homecoming. You know, he played at IU down there. And he's one of those backs, you know, when he came out of Indiana, I remember talking to a coaches down there and a lot of people, and they all said, you know, he's got good hands. He's faster than what he's going to time. He runs as fast as he has to with the ball. He can be physical if he can stay healthy. And thus far, he has stayed healthy. And you can see how he catches the balls. They run him on outside running plays. He's capable and physical enough to run between the tackles. So he's the whole package at running back. Stay healthy.
Next up for the Bears, a visit from the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up on Sunday. This is a team that went over to London. Now they got their bye week. When you had a bye week, did you put in anything new, or was it just like trying to sharpen up things that you normally do?
We practiced every day when I had bye weeks, but it's changed now. Now the players have to have 4 days off, so you generally bring them back. And what they'll do is they'll look and they'll take their self-scout. Because, usually four games, you got enough information in there to make an educated decision on what you got to work on. And, like, if I'm the Bears and I look at Sunday's plan, what did we do? What do we need to work on? I would say, okay, we weren't real good in the red zone. We were 1-for-3. We were 22% in third down. So let's take that extra day. Let's not run, bear plays. Let's run and work on our red zone and our third down offense. Let's focus on that. So it's more of a, focus in a situation time to clean some things up than take the extra time for game planning.
Jacksonville was one of those trendy teams that people like to make a big jump this year, like Oakland, who's doing pretty well. But Blake Bortles and company got off to a slow start. What do you think about their personnel and their future?
You know what? I watched them against the Colts over there in London. We talked about that. And they can rush the passer. I mean, they are physical up front. And Bortles has the ability. He's got a very similar, to the Bears a little bit, that they got a good receiving crew. And he can make all the throws. So this is going to be another week where we're going to have to get pressure on the passer. If we let this guy stand back there, he's capable of coming up with some big-time pass plays.
Talking about some other things going on around the league, the Minnesota Vikings at 5-0. They had the injuries. They lose their starting quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. They lose Adrian Peterson, and they just keep rolling along. What impresses you about that team?
Well, they had a punt return for a touchdown on Sunday. We know about their defense. They got one of the best defenses in the league. I talked to North Turner, their offensive coordinator, this week, and he said, we're at the bottom of the league in running the ball since Adrian Peterson's not in there, but we have not turned the ball over. We're number one in the whole NFL in turnover margin. So we're never putting our defense in a bad position on the field. And so now you got that complementing your defense and you're making big plays on special teams. I mean, right now they are tough to beat. And week, I think it's like they got 6, 7, 8 more weeks. When Adrian Peterson gets back, if he comes back healthy, they are really going to be something special.
Yeah, Minnesota looking like the class of the NFC right now. Over in the AFC, it's the usual suspects, New England, Pittsburgh, Denver. And, the Patriots got a guy named Brady back. He's pretty good.
Not bad. And the sad thing is they're 3-1 without him being in there. And Gronk's been banged up a little bit. He's back healthy now. And Tom's got a chip on his shoulder. I talked to a guy this morning that talked to him, and he obviously felt – like this whole Deflategate thing was not true, and he got a scapegoat, all the talk about it. So he's playing this season with a legitimate chip on his shoulder, and he's out to prove something. So, with his ability and his knowledge, that's the wrong guy that you want to be playing when he's really focused in and coming after you.
Of course, you spend most of your weekends out in Los Angeles doing college analysis for Fox. You and I grew up watching Woody Hayes against Bo Schembechler, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Well, they're playing a different style now, but it looks like it could be 11-0 Michigan playing 11-0 Ohio State for the Big Ten title.
It's amazing. You mentioned Bo. I went up and did an interview with Jim Harbaugh, sat down and talked to him. And he drives to work. You see him with the hat on, looking like Bo. He's getting his hair cut, I think, with the same barber he told me that cut Bo's hair. I mean, and Jim, he's living in the same neighborhood. This is, he told me, where Bo lived, and he drives the same route to work every day in his car that Bo drove.
Wow.
So, I mean, he is really, and that's what's so amazing about that, because a lot of guys, they take over a job and they try to bring back the tradition of what they had and win at the same time. That's not easy. Jim's getting a lot of things done in a short amount of time.
Yeah, well, some of Bo's Michigan's teams would have taken a month to score 78. Jim did it in one night.
I was at a practice up there one time. Do we have time for a quick story?
Sure, sure.
And I was coaching at USC. And we went out there to watch them in spring practice. Jim Harbaugh was the quarterback. And they threw two or three passes, and it was cold. They were in the bubble there in Ann Arbor. And the passes, the guy dropped one, and one was overthrown. And Bo blows the whistle. And he turns to the manager, and he says, "Give me the football with no air in it." And the manager runs over and opens up this chest. I'm standing there watching this. I got a notepad, right? I'm going to take notes. And the guy brings out this football. It was not inflated. And Bo says, "Put it down." He says, "Full speed." Well, obviously, they couldn't throw the ball. The defense, they got 11 guys on. So they run about four plays, and the defense is hooping and hollering, and they splatter him. He says, "Okay, bring the ball back with the air in it." And he turns to Jimmy, he says, "Now, if we can't throw," and he looks at the receivers, says, "and we can't catch it better than we were, I'm bringing the ball back with no air." So that's how far Jim's brought the passing game at Michigan. It was a funny story.
Yeah, clearly the college game has changed a bit since the days of Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler. Well, back to the NFL. Clearly something has to give on the lakefront on Sunday, the 1-4 Bears against the 1-3 Jaguars. Dave and I will be here to wrap it up on Inside the Huddle next Sunday at 10:30.
He played 182 games for your Chicago Bears, accumulating 41.5 sacks and 22 interceptions. And this season, he's tackling Bears coverage on CSN Chicago. Don't miss The Hard Count, featuring Brian Urlacher, presented by Restore, Thursdays at 10:30.
Chris Bowden, Alex Brown, Jim Miller, back with you on our Bears Talk podcast. We talked positive before we sent it over to Coach and Mark Schanowski about what Brian Hoyer has been able to do for this offense. Let's talk about two other ingredients, two young ingredients, two inexperienced ingredients, but who are able to come through and carry a big part of the load on Sunday in Indianapolis. Let's start with Jordan Howard, who, if you weren't impressed with what he did last week against the Detroit Lions, he showed again 163 all-purpose yards on 19 touches yesterday, Jim.
7.4 average, and he's been a monster. And granted, it's painful to see the mistake with the face mask, but clearly you can see he's the difference maker. Offensive line is gelling together. He's balancing up the offense. He's opening up play action pass, all with his presence alone in the way he carries the football. So I think offensively the Bears found their identity. It's that running back, and it needs to go through him because it's going to open up everything else.
What's great about seeing these two young players is that they're really young. They're just starting. And from the first opportunity Cameron Meredith gets, he makes good on it.
Mm-hmm.
He is the go-to guy in this game. He's the go-to guy. He had more targets than anybody, more yards, had a touchdown. And at that last play of the game, Who was Hoyer looking for? He's looking for Meredith. That's who he was throwing the ball to. So he was the go-to guy from day one. Howard. They've given him the rock 20 plus times, and he's come through back-to-back 100-yard games. The first rookie to do it
for the Bears.
100. He is carrying the load here. Now he's not doing it by himself. Obviously, the offensive line is playing a lot better than they were early in the year. But he's making good on it. When it's time for him to make a play, he makes a play. And that's it. When he hit that hole, he made a guy miss. Robinson? Made Robinson miss. He's up the sideline for a huge game.
And I think why Robinson missed, he didn't have the heart to stick his helmet in there.
No. Because
he knows he's going to get barreled. Mm-hmm. I mean, Howard is a powerful
running
back.
Yeah, he had a touchdown run in this game, callback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the kid is doing everything he's supposed to do. Made a guy miss on a little check down route. Scored a touchdown, Hoyer found him. Like, he's doing all the right things, and I can't wait to see how Meredith, like, comes back on, like, show up on this game, this next game. I want to see if he can put together two back-to-back games.
He got the opportunity with Kevin White, done, if not for the year, done for at least 2 months with his injury. We kind of figured it was going to go that way, and he showed up 17 career receptions over a season plus, and he had 9 receptions on 130 yards, and we talked about in the post-game show about he was having such a good game. He makes that one mistake, which no doubt is a crucial mistake, but Brian Hoyer decides to go right back to him as soon as they get the ball back.
Yeah, and, you know, even that one mistake, and Alex and I brought it up, you know, catch, no catch rule. There was a similar play in the Washington Pittsburgh Steeler game where same identical play, and it was ruled an incompletion. But unfortunately for him, you know, he's going to take it pretty hard. But I also think this, with the way Howard's played the past couple weeks, with what Meredith did today, and Alex can back me up on this, it is now a drug for those guys. Mm-hmm. They are addicted. Yes. Because they just validated, I can play in the National Football
League. Yes.
And you, that is something that every player has to come to grips with, and they just proved it.
I'm on
and
the
now
big
what
stage.
Are they going to do with it?
Right, I'm on the big stage now. And before you actually do it, you're
a little
like,
doubt in the back of your mind,
yeah,
right?
I think I can. I think once you do it, you can always lean on that and say, oh, I've done this before.
Yep.
Let's go to work. You know, I've done this. I know how to do this. Let's go to work. I am very, very excited to see those two players in particular, Howard and Meredith, how they grow throughout this season, assuming that Hoyer's still the quarterback when OJ comes back.
Well, it's something to at least watch despite falling to 1-4. We knew heading in this was going to be a season of development, seeing how some of these young players could grow. Mm-hmm. We have to wait on Eddie Goldman even more. Mm-hmm. We have to wait a little bit more on Leonard Floyd as he sat out on Sunday and any number of other young players. But even as some guys are being forced to sit out, others are sliding in and having that stage and proving what they can possibly do. So we will see how they step forward next week against the Jacksonville Jaguars at Soldier Field. That before the Bears go back-to-back against the Packers on 4 days of rest,
mm-hmm.
and then the Minnesota Vikings on Halloween night.
Tough stretch.
That's a wrap for this edition of our Bears Talk podcast. For Alex Brown, Jim Miller, as well as for Mark Schanowski and Dave Wanstead, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again later in the week.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.